Good morning. Father God, thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the power and the word that we get from your word that is printed. Thank you for the printing press and that it's in our language and it's in our hands, that we can know you more deeply and love you more fully. And thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit that enables us to understand your word, because without you we would know it, not anything. So open our minds and open our hearts, and may we speak and may we hear what you want to tell us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So it says, sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, and that is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed because they saw the miraculous signs that he had performed on the sea. Now then, you needed to know that now it's Passover time again. Jesus has been in his ministry for a year. He was baptized probably during the Passover time. And some thing that I've learned by studying what other people are so much smarter than I am, every time it's Passover time, there's a full moon. And I thought that was interesting, because God had a full moon when they left Egypt. So when they left, he had it lighted up. And I have lived in the country where there was no electricity. And when you got a bright full moon and you're not used to any artificial lighting, you can see anything. So when it says that Jesus looked up and saw them coming in, he could see that naturally. So another thing we needed to know, that they have left Capernaum, and if you visualize the Sea of Galilee, Capernaum is right here at the corner of west and north before you go over to the top of the lake. And then you go over the top of the lake, and 4 miles down the road is where they are. And they said there's a plain there at the base of a mountain similar to what you have there at Capernaum, where Jesus can come down and teach them. And so if it is, it says it's time for the Passover feast, so there will be a herd of people coming from way up north, all going down to Jerusalem. And so when he says he saw all of these people coming, this is why there's so many people on the road and why he had such a big gathering here. You know, it helps so much to know the setting of things and the plane of things. So I wrote that at the top because I thought that was interesting. And so then when he sees a large crowd, he talks to Philip. And what did he tell Philip to do? Or ask him? Yeah. How are we going to feed? And it says he already knew what he was going to do. So he's testing Philip, and Philip evidently was the one that had the numbers in his head, and he bought the supplies. And so you know that if we're in charge of something, we think we've got it covered. He said, you might look and see who all's coming here. So when it says that there's 5,000, there's probably 25,000 people that landed up hungry on the side of the mountain there, because that's just men, and that's men of fighting age. So there's 5,000 men of fighting age, and fighting age was 30. So if you can imagine all the kids and all the wives and all the aunts and all the uncles and everybody else, they were just coming as a swarm down, and they were going to Jerusalem for Passover. And so this is their beginning. So it takes about a week to get from Galilee, and if you got littles, it'll probably take more, into Jerusalem, because most of them will not go through Samaria like Jesus did. You can cut that in half if you go through Samaria. So, but they go to the northeast, east side of the River Jordan and go down. And it says they go up to Jerusalem. This in the mount is going down. But all time that they thought about Jerusalem is on four mountains, you know. That I love that song, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, Jesus and God sings over us. So they are headed that way, and they're carrying probably little tents, they're carrying their food, they're carrying the kids, and so it's a joyful time, because a big group will be going together. So this is the mass that you're seeing that he's dealing with here. So he looks at Philip and he said, how much is it going to cost us to feed all these people? And of course Philip, he has something that, well, that's 8 months. That's 8 months of salary to feed all these people. We ain't got that kind of money, and then where are you going to find that this time? And so Jesus leaves him alone. Bless Andrew. We know Andrew is always bringing someone to Jesus. He brought Peter to Jesus, and he brought Nathaniel to Jesus. And so Andrew is a warrior for the Lord. He brings somebody to Jesus, and the only one he could find that had any food was a kid. And so this little boy shows up with what we would call a can of sardines. And even the bread that he was bringing is probably made with the wheat or the flour that normally you would feed cattle. This kid hadn't got anything but some sardines and some cheap bread. But he gives everything he has to Jesus. And this is to tell us, regardless how little you have, if you give it to Jesus, he's going to feed 20,000 people with it. So we're going to look at those kind of things. And so he goes on, and so we have Andrew bringing the boy, and the boy comes, and he probably will really go hungry because, you know, he didn't have much to begin with. He gives everything he has to feed them. So then Jesus said, well, everybody sit down, and there's always order. God is a God of order. It started out in creation. He never created one thing without the previous thing in place before it was created. So it says, when Jesus looked up and saw the great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, what will it take? And then Philip answers, well, 8 months would not buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Notice that, a bite. And Jesus said, have the people sit down, and there were plenty of grass in that place, and the men sat down, and then he took the loaves of the loaves and gave thanks and distributed to them who were seated as much as they wanted. How much did they all have? As much as they wanted. These people are walking. That's a lot of food. You know, it was going to take 8 months for them to have a bite. And so when you look at 20,000 people and they all are satisfied and they all have what they wanted, Jesus is not also talking about food. He's going to flip it on them and start saying, you got a problem here. So when they all had enough to eat, he said, and they were satisfied, they had enough. Nobody said, but I didn't get any. You know, in 20,000 you can overlook somebody. But everybody had all they wanted. And so we go on down here, and when they had all had enough to eat, he said to the disciples, gather the pieces that are left over and let nothing be wasted. I like that, because I was raised in the Depression, and if you throw away food, I get all excited. I can eat on one order for 3 days. And people look at me, you gonna take that home with you? Well, of course, you know. But you never threw anything away if you was raised on the farm at that time. And so they gathered them up and filled, how many baskets? 12. Who's passing out the baskets? 12. And when they gathered, and then what did he do with the baskets? He filled them. He filled them. And those were probably curtain-sized baskets, because that's the way they traveled. They had to take a basket full of everything they needed when they were going from one spot to another. And so he took the pieces of the 5 barley loaves and leftovers by those who had eaten. And after the people saw the miracles and the signs that Jesus did, they began to say, surely he is a prophet who has come into this world. And Jesus, knowing what they intended to do, to come and make him king by force, withdrew again at the mountains by himself. And so they're so busy, it sounds like they don't wake up that he left until about a day later. Because then they get thinking, well, Moses fed the people every day, and we got a healer here. He is the one, and we won't have to worry about eating, and we won't have to worry about being sick. We've got to make him king, because he's probably going to overrun Rome, and we're going to have all our land back. Jesus had none of that in mind. That's going to surprise some people, but he didn't, because it goes on. Anybody want to say anything there before we go into the next chapter? See, that wasn't a very long chapter. That's what you know about this, but that's it. You've got that figured out. So when the evening came, his disciples went down into the lake where they had got into a boat and set off across the lake to Capernaum. And by now it was dark, and Jesus had not yet joined them. You know, he sneaks while he goes. When he decides to appear or disappear, you know, he can just do that. We can figure that out later. And so he goes up into the mountain area there. He has been dealing with his disciples. He has been feeding all these people. He has been concerned about their attitude. And he knows that his timing is not right yet for him to become king. He is the king already. He will be victorious, but not at this time. This is 1 year. He'll be on the earth 2 more. And so he knows that the people do not run the show. His Father God does. And so always know that. So when evening came, his disciples went down to the lake. And you know, this lake is kind of in a hole with mountain ranges all the way around it. And where those mountains, every once in a while the wind will come in between those mountains, and they have a storm, and it can come in real quick. And when they have a storm on the Lake of Galilee, it's a fierce storm. These men are fishermen. And if they're scared on the lake, it's bad, because they've seen what it does when the storms come in. And so remember, it is 4 miles from Capernaum to where he started. He had gone up in the mountains, and so he's probably already a mile or two down. He comes down while they are in this boat trying to get back off on the sea back to Capernaum. He's headed for Capernaum, so he's walking along the top of the lake and headed back that direction to begin with. So visualize what's going on. So we go from there. So this strong wind comes up. I think we may be in 19. And when they towed three and a half miles. How many miles was it from where he left, from Capernaum to where they're going? So they're half a mile from their destination. And Jesus is already there. And so that's good to know, because he knows they're coming in. He knows they're struggling. He knows this because he knows what they're doing. But there's a full moon, and as he comes up, he can see them struggling and coming this direction. He don't go out and save them. He lets them struggle. I don't care how far away you are from what you desire. If you're struggling and can't get there, you think, well, where in the world is Jesus? This is something that this, the whole background of here, you always come to me with what you want physically. That's the whole thought here. And you do not hear me when I speak spiritually. The same thing happened to Nicodemus. He said, you're not doing a good job of running the show here. How do you think you're going to understand anything physical? He's trying to shift them out of the physical into the spiritual thinking, because the kingdom of God is not of this world. It's spiritual. But he is the king, and he is there among them, and he's beginning to try to get them to see some of these things, but everything that happens. So let's see whatever he says here now. And so when they had towed 3.5 miles, they saw Jesus approaching the boat, walking on the water, and they were terrified. So here he is, kind of, they're just a half a mile out before they get there. And he's on the shore. And then they can look up and probably nearly see him across there, because he can see them because he has good eyes. Anyway, and so he sees them coming, but he does not rescue them because he sees they're struggling. And so Jesus approaches the boat, walking on the water, and they were terrified. I'd been terrified too. They always think, well, there's a ghost. You know, there was a lot of ghosts then, and a lot of spirits, and a lot of stuff of ignorance that was very prominent at this time. And we see ghosts sometimes. And so he said, if it is I, don't be afraid. How many times does he say, fear not, fear not. I am with you, I am with you. This is another, fear not, I am with you. And he said, don't be afraid. And after he walked out toward them, he gets in the boat with them. And then they are willing to take into the boat, and immediately the boat reaches the shore. So they were nearly there. And so he's not out in the middle of the ocean. I think this is two different times that he walked on water. You know, he walked into the shallows. He probably could have almost walked on the ground and gotten feet wet, but he didn't. He still walked on water. And then he got in the boat with them. And so this is different than the one when he was out in the storm in the middle of a sea. It's stormy, it's close, but this is just, I think, a different incident. And this is where it was still a sign that he could come and he could get in the boat with him. So we go back down here to the crowd. The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the opposite shore of the lake realized that only one boat had been there and that Jesus had not entered it with the disciples, but they had gone away alone. And then some boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the people had eaten the bread after the Lord had given thanks. And once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into their boats and went to Capernaum to search for Jesus. So this is probably the next day, you know. They were busy visiting, they were busy resting, they were busy enjoying the meal. And, you know, we get busy with each other and sometimes we forget, where's Jesus? Is Jesus always in your group when you meet with him? You know, if we just realize that every time that we have dinner or something with someone else, Jesus is there, would it change the way I act? Would it change the way I speak? Would it make me make sure that I prayed over it before I ate it, because Jesus always did? We are just like these people. We are so tied to the flesh, it's real hard for us to look up and see Jesus. And when we do, well, where'd he go? When I was just getting fed, now he's disappeared. Well, let's all get in the boat and go over there and see if we can find him, because we may have something else that he's going to give us. We are physical. We're human. Only God can bring us into, by the power of the Holy Spirit, into his thinking. This is what he started with back with the woman that from the well. How did the people that she brought and told them about? They saw the spiritual. The Pharisees saw the spiritual. They believed in Jesus. Not a one of them said, well, you're going to come and feed us and take care of us, and then we'll just sit back and rest. It said they believed. And then when Philip came, they were the first converts out of Jerusalem to come to faith in Jesus, because of one missionary woman that went to the well. All of this stuff's tied together, folks. This is John, probably after he had been on the Isle of Patmos, writing all of this spiritual side of what he wanted these people to get, and they were unable to. They did not have the Holy Spirit we have. If you understand and you believe in God, that is covered in here. It's because you have been drawn by the Holy Spirit to Jesus. So let's see if we can find him. So we go on down here. So there, Tiberias, they landed. Once the crowd realized that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they got into the boats and went to Capernaum in search of Jesus. And when they found him on the other side of the lake, they said, Rabbi, how'd you get here? Well, it wasn't before miles. A strong man can walk 4 miles pretty quickly. But Jesus could have absolutely zapped herself from one spot to another. He does that, we know later. But he is still in his physical limitations. I'm probably sure he just walked. But he may have walked all night, because we have here that it was in the nighttime when they hit the coast there. He said, I'll tell you the truth, you're looking for me not because you saw miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. He's going back and nailing them to the wall. You're not looking up to the king that I am. Do not work for food and that spoils, for food that endures to eternal life. Switch it. He said, I did not come to feed you. I did not come. He wanted to get everybody well. He could just say to everybody in all Jerusalem and everywhere else, be well, and they'd all been well. Every time he healed somebody, it was for a purpose. That's why they call it signs. That was the sign that he was from God. That was a sign that he had the power of God. That was a sign that he was speaking the truth, because God was instructing him. So they said to eternal. In other words, if you know, we want to live in. Let me tell you, girls, by the time you get 90, your life's going to go, zip. I was raised where we had a tea kettle on the stove all the time. Do you remember the moisture that came out of the tea kettle? And when you moved it off of the burner, how long did the moisture last? Not long. Honey, that's how long you're going to live here. Yep, we're just a vapor. We're here for a minute and then it goes away. And especially, you know, I look at Terry, my oldest child. Good Lord, he's going to be 72. He must have the oldest woman in town for a mother. But to me, he's still my baby. He was my first baby. And you think, well, I can't believe this. I have three children. They're all over 65. Good Lord. Anyway, so we said, which the Son of Man, I'll give you eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval. This is king stuff. The King Father has placed the seal on him. Any king they had there, if you had the king's seal on you, you believed it because that was the authority. He's teaching one more time. I have all authority given to me from my Father, and so you might ought to listen to me. And he calls himself the Son of Man. This is a very direct fulfillment of prophecy, because all the time in Daniel, when it talked about the Christ who would come, he was the Son of Man. He had to be the Son of Man through the lineage of Judah, through a physical group, to become then his father was God. So he was not conceived in this lineage. He got his lineage from his mama. But he was all man, but he was also all God. And so that's hard for us intelligent people that can read. Most of these people couldn't read. They didn't have a Bible. If they hadn't been told something, they didn't know it. So have a little patience with these people. But he is trying to tell them with a message with what they knew. Most of them lived on bread. In season, they probably had vegetables. Out of season, only thing they had was bread. And if they lived or if they starved to death, it was because they had enough bread to make them through the winter. So this is another thing that is the base of this thinking here. And so he goes on him, and it said that he is sealed by God and has placed his seal of approval. Then they ask him, what must we do to do the works God requires? If you have not this sentence taped on a window sometime, when you think, oh, I've got to do something to please God, listen. Jesus answered, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. That's it. He's going to love you, God is, if you love his son. He's going to love you if you take his son as your Lord. It's not what we do. It's not what we think. It is Jesus who saves us in Christ alone. And so they ask him, what miracle signs then will you give us that we can see it and believe it? Well, duh. They had already seen him healing people all in Jerusalem if they were at the Passover last year. They had seen him heal people all in the Jerusalem, in the Galilean area. They had seen him feed 20,000 people. They need a sign. How many times that Jesus is our Lord, is he's answered our prayers according to our desires, and then we see that he's God, you know. My daddy was sick and now he's out. He said it's a sign that he had the power to do that. He created us. He knew how to put us back together. But he didn't use it except to show you, I am from my Father. The reason this happens is because God the Father is working through me. And then Jesus said, I tell you the truth. It is not Moses who has given you bread from heaven, but it was my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. So they always want to say, but I'm from Moses. Moses and Jesus are equal. Moses has all the power from the beginning that Jesus had. Oh, no, well, that's not true. You know, even Moses figured that out. He said, I can't stand it. These people stand around wanting something all day long. And finally, his father-in-law had to say, well, you're going to have some help. Assign a few people to listen to it, and if they can't handle it, well, then they can refer them to you. You know, we come to the conclusion that we are God and we can meet all circumstances. That is something you better not believe or you're going to be very disappointed. Anyway, and so then when we pray and we ask, and I was sitting by a lady 2 weeks ago in the evening, who is grieving the death of her dog. And so we're trying to teach people in our neighborhood who Jesus is and the power he has. And we were talking about with the Holy Spirit and with Jesus that our prayers can be answered. We'll have strength we wouldn't have otherwise. And she announced, well, Jesus took my two children and Jesus took my husband. Now Jesus has taken my dog. That's not true. And so if he would not keep her with her husband, all of the life that she loved around her, and that's sad. Jesus is your only hope. He's not who's snatching everybody away. Our sin and the evil and the offices of illnesses and accidents are what takes our lives. But he says, don't worry about it. I've got eternal life and it's going to be a whole lot better with me than it is here. And without me, you would not get there. We go on and it said, he said here, for the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. In other words, if you want to live, it's more than physical. He is introducing what the Holy Spirit will do. And it's coming one by one. You know, we are so Lord. Help me understand anything. And without the power of Spirit, we don't get there then. Sir, they said, from now on, give us this bread. Duh. He just said, the bread's here. It came down from heaven. How many have had loaves of bread come down from heaven? And then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty. We all get hungry and we all get thirsty. He wasn't talking about that. In other words, he's talking about the satisfaction and the peace you have when you have Jesus. That is much more important than whether I have to have some more food today or not. But these people at this time are so ignorant and so uninformed and do not have all of that, but he's beginning to open up the light which will come. But as I told you have seen me still and you do not believe. He said, I'm it. And all that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never drive away. Hang that on your mirror. You can't run Jesus off. If you believe in him and he's your Lord, he will never leave you. Regardless how stupid you are, I'm a living proof. For I have come down from heaven not to do my will, but to do the will of him who sent me. For this is the will of him who sent me, that I shall lose none of all that he has given me. If you are a Christian, it is because God has given you to Jesus. He has opened up your heart by the Holy Spirit that you can see it. And he gives you your faith. But he was raised them up on the last day. The last day became on Pentecost. They were always looking for the last day. When's the last day coming? The last day's come, then we're going to have it all made. Well, they thought they would all go back to Jerusalem, and then he'd give them all the land back, and they'd run Rome out, and that would be the last day. No. Even if he'd done that, that wouldn't be the last for that lifetime. But the last day is when the Holy Spirit comes. For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him shall have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the very last day. So when he returns and opens up all the graves and calls all of his believers to himself, that's it. That's the last day. And at this, the Jews begin to grumble. Well, that wasn't what they wanted to hear about him, because he said, I am the bread and come down from heaven. They said, well, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, his mother and father we know? How can he say, I came down from heaven? That'd been hard. We saw this kid grow up around here. He's a pretty good kid, but if he thinks he came down from heaven, we know where he started. He started with Mary and Joseph. They have not been informed. And he said, stop grumbling among yourselves. God is always so upset with people that just sit around and complain all the time. How many times are you around somebody and they're complaining? I hope it isn't you. That don't make God or Jesus very happy. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him on that last day. That is your answer. You have to be pulled and drawn by the Holy Spirit to come to faith in Jesus. And he's given you the power in this word by the power of the Holy Spirit for that. And then they said, everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one from God. Only he has seen the Father. I tell you the truth, he who believes has everlasting life. That is so good. What do you want me to do? Can I, you know, if I got to live up to all this standard? Believe in me. Believe in Jesus. That sounds real easy, but it's evidently a little bit difficult. He said, I, one more time. Notice, this John is the I Am gospel. Every time you see I Am, when Moses started in to lead the people out of Egypt, who can I say it was sent me? Tell them I Am. I Am is God. Jesus was God on earth. I Am the bread of life. Yet your fathers ate manna in the desert, and yet they died. But there is bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread that comes down from heaven. If anyone eats from this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. He's pointing to his crucifixion. I read something the other day that I think helped me understand to a certain extent. You know about all the little lambs that had to give their blood for a sacrifice for all of the, you know, they're just jillions of them killed in sacrificial performances in the Old Testament. And always remember that the life, and God says this over and over, the life of anything is in the blood. So what is happening when you take a lamb and you go to the priest and they open up the arteries and then they pour this blood into a bowl? That little lamb is pouring his life into your sacrifice. And so then when he takes the life of that little lamb and is offered to God, then God can, by his, your obedience, can forgive you of sins for a year. And so when Jesus said, I will pour out my life for you, that's when he pours out his blood on the cross. When a man, you know, any time that you run out of blood in a wreck or anything, I know when Terry was having his heart tested 2 weeks ago, he said the only thing we worry about is somebody bleeding out. If you don't stop a blood flow, you're going to die because your life is in your blood and it circulates all through your body. Everything that he has made is to teach us about God, if we can be open to it. Then the Jews began to argue swiftly among themselves, and how can this man give us his flesh to eat? And then Jesus said, so don't be literal in all this stuff. This is spiritual. That's why people, some people that have communion, they said you've got to really know that it's been turned into his blood and his body. Because if you don't chew on that bread and you don't feel gristle, well, you don't know you've had communion. Good Lord. Jesus also said he's a door. It's examples. It's spiritual. It's physical teaching tools to teach you a spiritual truth. And so when Jesus, at the end of the supper before he left, he said, when you eat this bread, when you take this cup, you show my death until I come back. And then he said, I won't do this again until I do it with you in the kingdom. We're in the kingdom. Jesus is here every Sunday when we come around this table. And I like to see him coming. He always comes in that door. And because he said he walks among the churches, and I'll think, here he comes, you know. And then he said, this is my body, and this is my blood. You know it's grape juice, and you know it's bread. But when you do take it that way, you have him serving you, it changes. Because it does what he wanted to do. It shows his death until he comes again. But he poured his life out in his blood. Okay. So on hearing this, you can see how everybody's all upset. Many of his disciples said, this is a hard teaching. Who can accept it? Well, of course it was hard teaching. And nobody would understand it until after Jesus gives the Holy Spirit and explains it. But he's laying the foundation. Aware that his disciples were grumbling again, Jesus said to them, does this offend you? Are you offended by telling other people that you are Christian or that you believe in Jesus? Well, you must be pretty stupid. Well, you might read this. The Spirit, notice one more time. The spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. That's a sentence that explains this whole chapter. The words I have spoken to you are spirit. You have been fed spiritually this morning. And they are life. Yet there are some of you who do not believe, for Jesus has known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. You can't fool Jesus. You can go around and say, well, I believe in Jesus, and just live like Satan. And Jesus said, you do? And he went on to say, this is why I told you, no one can come to me unless the Father enables him. We can't even have faith without God. And from this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. He just lost 20,000. He's down to 12 again. And then he looks at them, bless his heart. This to me just wants to break your heart. Do you want to leave me too? When things don't go to suit you and you get mad at Jesus because he didn't answer your prayers in the way you wanted them answered. He asks you, do you want to leave me too? And the Lord, to whom shall we go? And Peter figured that out. Lord, to whom shall we go? You have words of eternal life. We believe and know that you are the Holy One from God. Then Jesus replied, have I not chosen you at the 12, yet one of you is the devil? Not everybody in church that looks religious are God's people. You have to be as wise as serpents and as innocent as doves and test the word, test it. He meant Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, who, though one of the 12, was later to betray him. So, hey, we got through. I could have talked to y'all for 3 months on this one chapter.
Father God, we just thank you so much for this class, for these ladies that take the time to come and listen to your word, Father God. May it permeate their hearts and their souls, and that they can proclaim it to others that need to know about you. Because we trust you and we know who you are, may you other people also know who you are, so that they would have the peace that takes us through the day, Father God, to make it through another day. We have so many needs that are so, you know, hurtful to all of us. Emotional, physical, jobs, children starting school, teachers that are going to be teaching, that they would also take the time to teach about you, Father God. And you need to be in our schools so that children would hear about you. This is our prayer for all of them, Father God. We pray for healing in all of our issues, Father God. We pray that you just fill our hearts, that we may go out these doors proclaiming your name to all who need to hear you and know about you. We love you, we trust you, and we thank you for another day. We thank you for your son, Jesus, that loves us so much, that came to give his life for us sinners, to come back to you. We love you, and it is in his name that we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.